Welcome to the program, or welcome back to the program. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Now, clones, what I need for you to do is reset yourselves. Reset yourselves. Reset your expectations. We are not talking about what you want me to talk about. If I only talked about what you clones wanted me to talk about, I would be one of you clones. We're not doing it. Reset yourselves. Reset your expectations. Stop asking for Rex to call in. We're not doing this. You know what your topics are. You know what we're talking about. You know what we will not talk about. You know what we will talk about. With that in mind, I've got 49ers defensive back Jimmy Ward coming up next segment. I've got Trevor Moad, a best-selling author and guru, coming up in hour number three. I've got telephone lines which are open for the right person and the right topics. 1-800-636-8686. You can also hit me up on Twitter, as you know, at Jim Rome. Follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome. Mess up my Facebook page if you want. I really don't care. You know how to find me. Get up in here. All right, so we already talked about the NFL, and we're about 48 hours away, which is awesome. We talked about some of the signings over the weekend. We talk NBA right now. Now, I've said this before, and let me say it again right now. Time, or like the passage of time, is so weird right now. Here's something else I've said before, and I know I'll say it again. The NBA bubble is really strange. Really, really freaking weird right now. I mean, so weird. It's to the point that even guys inside of it do not even know what's going on anymore. Take Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Now, Brad Stevens is one of the sharpest, smartest guys, and not just in the NBA, but pretty much on the planet. And even Stevens has no idea who or where the hell he is right now.
I have no idea what the days are.
Doesn't matter.
Can't believe somebody told me it was Labor Day.
It is Labor Day. Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody told me it was Labor Day. Like, he didn't even know it was Labor Day. Like, I'm not sure what's better. Stevens having no idea where we are in the calendar, or somebody telling him and him replying, wow.
Wow.
What? Damn, what, really? Like, it's a complete shock to him that it's Labor Day. You ask this guy what year it is, and it's probably a coin flip whether or not he gets it. And he is the smartest guy in the room. But it's not even his fault, because bubble life probably is that weird. Here's something else about the NBA bubble. Like I said, I always say, give me an A or give me an F. Like you clones, as an example. You're giving me nothing but Fs today. Give me an A or give me an F. Nothing but Fs. At least in the NBA, you can get an A. Because I would say the same thing about the NBA bubble games. They're either an A or they're an F. I mean, seriously, these are both some of the best and worst games ever. And you never know what you're going to get from night to night. Only that it's going to be either really good or really bad and nothing in between. Literally anything can happen and has and will. Like the Bucks. The Bucks had the best record in the league. Then they fall behind 3-0 in their series. Then they lose Giannis in game 4. Should have been the end of that series. Especially with everybody questioning their grit and their heart. But they dig deep, they find a way to win, and that was pretty impressive. And a quick note on that. Giannis getting hurt truly and absolutely sucks. Yes, as always, the disclaimer, saying something sucks is not a take. That sucks. Truly and absolutely. And then the question is, yeah, but the guy's going to want to go. Man, he's built for it. He's wired like that. He's going to want to go. Right. All prideful athletes do. If there's any chance of doing any further damage, you do not let this guy play tonight. Yeah, and I know he's going to want to play. And I know he's going to try and do everything he possibly can to get on the floor. But you can't let the guy. Because if he damages that ankle even more, or he jacks it up, or he does any kind of long-term damage to it, that would be so much worse than them losing another playoff series. It would be terrible. Terrible for Giannis, terrible for the Bucks, terrible for the NBA, pretty much terrible for everybody. The player will almost always want to play. So you have to protect the player from himself. especially this player. No way you let that guy go in game five, no matter how much heart they showed in game four. And no, I'm not a doctor. I'm just a dude with a brain, and there's no way you let that guy play in game five. Speaking of, you don't believe me? Go ask Kevin Durant. Speaking of truly terrible, that would happen in game five of the Celtics-Raptors series. That matchup gave us one of the greatest final sequences in playoff history in game three, and then they turned in that dog last night in game five. After winning game three in the final 0.5 seconds, and then taking game four by 7 points, the Raptors come out last night, and they score 11 in the first quarter. 11 points, as in one more than 10, and one less than 12, for an entire quarter. That's averaging less than a point per minute. The defending champs in the second round of the playoffs, in a critical game, turned in that clunker. I mean, yeah, credit goes to Boston for locking them up defensively, but in this era of modern basketball and open, free-flowing offenses, how is an 11-point quarter even possible, much less from the defending champs, in a critical playoff game? When Jimmy Naismith nailed a couple of peach baskets to the wall for the very first time, I'm pretty sure both teams found a way to get the ball in the basket more than the Raptors did in the first quarter last night. You could sum up that quarter and that entire game in one single play from Jaylen Brown.
By Tice at the rim, Celtics pounce on the loose ball. Jaylen Brown running the floor, bounce pass lead for Marcus Smart, return to Jaylen Brown, checks the paint, flies through the air, and flushes hard over Ananobi, and the Celtics lead 18-5.
Holy crap, that was filthy. That was a nasty dunk from Brown, a nasty night from the Raptors. If this was the kind of show where, I don't know, we talked about what you want to talk about, or we were super lazy and we did polls, I would hit you with something like, which dunk from last night was filthier? Jaylen Brown against the Raptors.
Jaylen Brown running the floor, bounce pass lead for Marcus Smart, return to Jaylen Brown, checks the paint, flies through the air, and flushes hard over Ananobi.
Or Michael Porter Jr. against the Clippers.
Left side, gets double teamed, throws out of it to Monte, over to Porter, catch and go down the lane.
Hard tomahawk! Right on the melon of Montrezl Harrell! Get on a poster, son! Oh my goodness!
I don't know which dunk was better, I know which call was better.
Right on the melon of Montrezl Harrell! Get on a poster, son!
I thought there was a pretty good gah in the first one. But then the second one was better until we got a, quote, get on a poster, son. But anyway, what's that sound? That. Where did that come from?
Poster, son.
What does that signify? What is that? Anyway, if it were that kind of a show and I did things like polls, I'd have to chase that with reaction. Which dunk was nastier? Which dunk brought more funk? And then after that poll question of the day, I'd probably hit you with another one like, it's a two for Tuesday poll question a palooza. Now that you have voted on which dunk was more redunculous, which block was more insane? LeBron James on Russ?
Here's Russ going one-on-one with LeBron. Couldn't finish. LeBron blocked it at the rim. Here comes LeBron the other way, goes right to the rim, fouling a bucket. What a sequence for LeBron. On one end, he takes Russell Westbrook on one-on-one, and Russ can't even get it to the rim.
The only thing missing from that call was a that was monstrous. Monstrous because that was a 35-year-old man absolutely erasing one of the greatest athletes to ever play the game and one of the best players in the game today. I mean, that's both comedy and stupidity at the same time. Comedy and stupidity that he's getting up and down like that at that age and he's hammering the ball into the stands like that. There's a word to describe that sort of action. In any other weekend, that would be your runaway leader for the best block. But not this weekend, because last night, Kawhi Leonard did Jamal Murray like this.
Shot clock at 9. Murray takes it and tried to jam. It was rejected at the rim. It was almost saved by Beverly. Kawhi Leonard is doing it all. My goodness. What a defensive play.
Well, Jamal Murray was trying to catch a body here. Look at this. Ooh, wow. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful block here.
It's like he's got a baseball glove on.
He blocked it with his middle finger.
That is amazing.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
He blocked it with his middle finger.
I know. We've been doing this game for 3 decades.
We got to show that again, Spongy. That is spectacular.
Kevin Harlan, my man, he's like, Reggie, I saw it. Yeah, I'm right here, Reg. I saw it. I mean, normally you need an entire hand to block a shot. Not Kawhi. He needed a single digit. That was like freaky as hell in real time. And even freakier in slow-mo. Pandemic P went playoff P last night, and he had this to say about that block.
Well, that's an extra long middle finger. Like, it kept growing or something. You know, that's Kawhi, man.
Well said. Well said, P2. That is Kawhi, man. I mean, that is Kawhi. And that was an absolutely essential play. Like, L.A. was up 6 with less than 2 minutes to go in a critical playoff game. And that was with a 6-point lead and less than 2 minutes to go in a critical playoff game. A playoff game that, if we're being really honest, they probably deserve to lose. Which brings me to my next point. How y'all feeling today, Clipper fan? Are you fired up that you've got a 2-1 series lead? Or are you confused as hell because you probably do deserve to be down 2-1? And here's another question. Can somebody tell me who or what the Clippers are? Because seriously, I'm asking. I really don't know. Before the pandemic hit, I was all in on them as the team to beat. And when I look at them on paper, I'd still argue that they're the team to beat. Because of their talent, because of their grit, because of their depth. But as I watch them play on the floor and not on paper, I don't know who or hell or what the hell they are. Then again, how would I know who or what the hell they are if they don't know who or what the hell they are? And at this point, I'm not even sure they do. If they did, they would play to their potential on most nights, but they don't. Again, really talented, we know this. Really deep, we know that. And they're tough as hell, or at least we thought they were. Right now, their identity seems to be that they hit the snooze button a lot. And sometimes they wake up, and sometimes they don't. I mean, you would have thought that the Clippers dropping a couple of games to a Dallas team, missing its second-best player, would have been a wake-up call. I know I thought that it was. And sure enough, they come out and they dominate game 1 of this series. And you think, all right, these are the Clippers we've all been waiting on. But then they go get smashed in game 2. And they were down double digits last night. So again, who are they and what are they? Yes, they can lock you up defensively. Yes, they can go on big runs. But they also no-show and they get run over just as easily. So does that mean they're really good and can just throw the switch? Or do they get lucky? Because if Jamal Murray and Jeremy Grant do not go ice cold in the second half, LA does lose that game. And then they are down 2-1. But instead, thanks to Kawhi and that big finger and PG, they're up 2-1. So does that mean it's working or is it working in spite of itself? I don't really know, and I don't think they do either. Like, I could see them getting bounced for going hot and cold like this, or I could see them hot and colding their way to an NBA title. What I'm getting at is that this is how weird everything is in the bubble. So right now, bubble ball is giving me an A or giving me an F every single night. And the Clippers are sometimes giving you an A and an F in the same night. That's the beauty of bubble life right now. You never know what you're going to get night to night. Only that it's going to either be really awesome or really crappy. Kind of like I never know what I'm going to get today from you clones, only that it's going to be really crappy.
Go! Attacks the paint.
Go! When we come back, we will talk to 49ers DB Jimmy Ward. Top of hour number 3, a conversation with Trevor Moad. He's a fascinating dude. All of that is still ahead. And I'm not going to guarantee any phone calls or tweets or emails. Not if you can't get your acts together. I'll roll, man. I can roll all day, just me and none of you. When you need auto parts quickly, O'ReillyAuto.com is only a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Or you can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to you curbside. You can even have your battery tested free of charge while you are there if your battery needs to be replaced. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car at a guaranteed low price. Like Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your lawnmower, your boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I mentioned the NFC West is nasty. So why don't we talk about the NFC West and more? We're joined right now by a safety for the San Francisco 49ers. Coming off an enormous season, he had 60 tackles, he had a sack, he had 8 passes defensed in the regular season last year, and then 17 more tackles and a forced fumble in the postseason. He was a 2-time first-team all-conference player at Northern Illinois. He was the 30th pick overall in 2014. San Francisco opens up its season Sunday. They're at home against Arizona. Jimmy Ward is my guest. Jimmy, it's good to have you back. It's been a really unusual offseason, but now we're Tuesday of a game week. How does it feel to know that you're going to be on the field Sunday against the Cards, and how fired up are you about those prospects?
I'm really excited. Can't wait. You know, it's been a crazy offseason with the COVID-19. I'm just ready to get back to play some ball.
No, right? It's about time. It's going to feel great, I would imagine. So you mentioned the offseason. I'm curious, what was that like for you, and how'd you go about staying in shape when so many gyms and facilities were closed?
You know, I put my agent to work. I mean, he had to find me like a gym that was still up and running, and I ended up working out at Exos down in Pensacola. I think they were one of the ones that was still open and still had a food program for us. So, and I took a lot of yoga classes, too, so I feel like that really helped me out.
Jimmy Ward is joining us. You know, from the outside, one of the things that struck me about your team last year was the chemistry and the bonds that you guys had. How would you describe then the vibe among the players in camp this year?
I just feel like we just set a standard. So the younger guys, they just follow suit. I just feel like that did play a big part of just the whole winning season last year, just the chemistry and just, you know, how guys really play for one another. And I feel like that'll help us out this year, too.
I think what you just said is so key, right? You set a standard. You set a standard for the younger guys to follow. And then last month you said that you would watch the Super Bowl 10 to 20 times since it happened. You know, I've heard a lot of guys say that when they go through something like that, it's just too painful. They're not doing it. They would just ignore it. Why did you go out of your way to watch it as many times as you did?
Because I did ignore it for a good while. I didn't watch it right when the Super Bowl was over. It took me a good 2-3 weeks. But, you know, I needed to watch that. I needed to learn from my mistakes. Hopefully the rest of the guys end up watching it, too. It's just, you know, I wanted to just learn. And the best way to learn is just by, you know, getting beat or failing at something. And the next time, you know, you'll see it, and then you'll make the correction.
Jimmy Ward is my guest. So watching that game that many times, what did you learn? What were your biggest takeaways from that game?
That we need to finish as a group, as a whole. We had the game in our hands and we let it go. I feel like we need to get more turnovers, and in press coverage, we need to get our hands on some guys. I'm just speaking as for the defense, not too much for the offense, but that first one I gave you.
Sure. So when you get that close to winning a Super Bowl and then you don't finish or you don't end up holding the trophy, like, how painful is that? Is there a way to put into words what that feels like?
It's terrible. Terrible feeling. You know, you in preseason games and you add up the regular season with the postseason, you get all the way here and then you lose. It's not a great feeling. I'm gonna just tell you that.
Niner safety Jimmy Ward joining us. I can't imagine, right? So you and I have touched on this in the past, but I want to set this up one more time because I really appreciate and really respect your mindset. You have already been through so much as a player, from dealing with injuries and people questioning your talent, but you kept on believing no matter what you were faced with, kept on believing you were one of the best safeties in the game. So how are you able to maintain that belief in the face of all those challenges?
You just got to know who you are. And I just knew who I was. And, you know, I'm playing all these different positions, but I'm still – and then it's different coach changes. Sorry about that. Different coach changes. On top of that, we're having different defensive schemes, and I'm playing different positions. So, you know, I just really wanted to play safety to showcase my talent. And it took a while, but, you know, it's – last year, you know, I really showed it, and I don't even feel like that's going to be my best season. That's just a taste of it.
So let me go back to another point. Your point was you just have to know who you are, and which is easier said than done. I mean, in fact, how do you know who you are when there are so many people trying to tell you what you're not?
Practice. You know, I practice hard. I practice like a game. So, and then I watch film. I watch a lot of film. So, you know, I'm seeing what all the fans say. I'm seeing what the coaches, my peers say about what this guy does and this guy. So I watch those. You know, if you name any safety from last year or 2 years ago, I watch all that film and I compare it to myself. And I try to see if it's something that they can do that I can't do. So if I feel like I can do that and more, then, you know, don't believe what everybody else says. You know, if those good players, then I'm a good player too. So, and that's how I just looked at it.
We're talking to Jimmy Ward, and you were right. So you put in the time, and then you go out last season, you have an enormous year as part of an elite defense. So then what's your reaction? Is there any part of you that wants to say, hey, what, see, I told you so. How do you like me now? It kind of goes back to that whole thing. Are you looking to prove people wrong, or are you looking to prove the others right?
I'm looking to prove John right. John and Kyle, because they gave me an extension and they believed in me since I got here. There's still some changes, but I feel like they stuck around. Well, you know, let me stick around and gave me an extension. I work for it too now. I got to put that in there. But at the same time, you know, I just want to prove those guys right and just, you know, it's for me at the end of the day. You know, I want to prove to everybody else that, you know, I'm one of the best safeties out there.
Hey, Jimmy, they did give you that extension, and you did earn it, but you had options. Like, you were a free agent in the offseason. You had interest from some other teams, interest that could have paid you more money had you left, but you decided to stay with the 49ers. So what was that decision-making process like for you, and then ultimately what made you feel like the 49ers were the best fit and the best team for you?
I just looked at what we had compared to the other teams that was offering. I saw the money. It was cool and all. You know, I could have been, you know, getting paid, you know, more money than what I'm getting paid right now. And then, you know, fans would be like, oh, he's getting paid this much, so he has to be good. But I didn't really care about that. I just felt if I was in the right place and I'm happy, that then I can stack those years up and I'll make that money regardless of the situation. But I just wanted to be with some guys that I know. I didn't want to change, and I had to meet different coaches, change the scheme. I got to find different guys to work on my body. You know, it's a lot that goes into changing locations too. And then, you know, I just felt like we had good chemistry. And then I love Kyle, Coach Kyle, man. He's a great guy. And then Salah, he stayed, he came back. Defensive coordinator, so, you know, I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm going to stay.
Felt like it ain't broke, so why would I go anywhere? Jimmy Ward is my guest. What about John Lynch? You mentioned John. So there's somebody right there who played the same position as you, the oldest of the old school. What's it like to talk ball with him? And when you watch those old clips of him lowering his head and laying the lumber the way he did, what kind of thoughts do you have?
If I do that nowadays, I get fined and probably kicked out the game.
Right.
But I told you, he's like one of my favorite safeties. He's just ball hawk, hard hitting, just that old school safety, you know, that you want on your team back in the days. But no, you know, when I'm talking to him, and you know, and he's telling me good things, or if he tells me bad things, I really respect it either way. Just because, you know, he played this position. If John know any sport, I mean any position on the field, he's gonna know safety, and he's gonna know defensive back, but mainly safeties, because that's what he played for years. So I try to soak up as much knowledge as I can.
49ers safety Jimmy Ward joins me for another moment or so. Away from the field now, you're a collector of old school action figures. Like, what kind of figures do you have in your collection? What are your favorites?
Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Ninja Turtles. I collect a lot of horror movie action figures. As in, I got Leprechaun, I got Chucky, I got It, I got Freddy Krueger, I have Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, Gremlin, Alien, Predators. I can keep going. It's on and on. But, yeah, that's something I like to do.
That's pretty impressive. Like, where do you get them?
I order them. If I can find some of them in GameStop, some cool action figures, then I get them. But I got to order a lot of them because these action figures are pretty pricey.
How pricey? I mean, I don't want to be that guy who says how much does something cost, but how much does that thing cost?
I know one of the Ninja Turtles, because I got the Ninja Turtle action figures off the movie, the recent movie that they made. So that ended up, for one of them, it was like $200, too, like $250 or $300 or something like that.
So do you buy and hold, or do you trade? Like, do they appreciate in value? Do you know?
Yeah, I could sell them, but as of right now, I collect them. I don't want to sell them.
I got you.
That's the type of guy I am.
I got you, man. So, Jimmy, one more thought. You mentioned, like, when you make a decision to stay in San Francisco, there's so many factors that go into it, including, you know, the people who are around you to help you take care of your body. There's a legend that you love cheese fries and that you owe your NFL career to cheese fries. Is that true? How important was that in you being who you are and getting to where you are right now?
Yes, that's true. It's important because I always think about it. Just the whole cheese fries, the reason why I started playing. I don't know, it's sort of like the peak of my, well, the start, I wouldn't say peak, the start of my foundation. I'm still thinking about different ways I could just use that in my career, but as of right now, I just use it as motivation.
So how did you first get into them? Where did you first have cheese fries?
At practice, watching my two older siblings play football, and I end up getting some cheese fries and changed my life.
Dude, you are one of the most fascinating people in the NFL, man. This story and this journey is getting better and better and better. A safety for the 49ers. He was the 30th pick overall in 2014, and he is staying in San Francisco. Arizona at San Francisco on Sunday. Jimmy, it's great to have you back. Thanks for that. Good luck this weekend. Hope we can do it again soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You have a great day. You have an amazing day. So that's the kind of fuel he's running on, cheese fries, and collects old school action figures. One of the best safeties in the game. Could have gone elsewhere, stayed with the 49ers. You know, there's an argument to be made that when a team gets to the Super Bowl, and especially if a team gets to the Super Bowl and does not win the Super Bowl, they take a step back. I can make an argument that not only will they not take a step back, they may be better this year than they were last year. And last year they were that close. All right, so let me ask you this. I've got Trevor Moad coming up the top of the hour. Always look forward to talking to him. What are you doing this weekend? If you're not going to the game or games, what are you doing with the NFL weekend? I mean, so you might logically say, what do you think we're doing, idiot? We're not going to the games, although you might be. Probably not, but you might be. If you're not going to the games, you're going to be at home watching the games, right? Let's not get into that. Maybe not. Because you might go to a tailgate. Yeah, but can you still tailgate? In some places you can. And there are different options. And I want to get into the tailgate options. Notice what I'm not promoting. Notice what we're still not talking about. Talk some tennis. Novak Djokovic. Top seed. Bearing down on Nadal and Federer for all-time slams. Far and away the heavy favorite. I mean, I'm not going to say that to win a Grand Slam, you just show up and you do what you do, but this guy effectively was such a heavy favorite. If he had just shown up and done what he had done lately, He was unbeaten this year. Show up and do what he normally does. Then he leaves with a U.S. Open title. But no, couldn't leave well enough alone. And got DQ'd. You know how hard that is to do in a Grand Slam event when you're a superstar, a Hall of Famer, and you found a way to get it done. So all this coming up. Phone lines are open if you're good enough. Twitter is open whether or not you're good enough.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Check this out. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is better for you, and it's higher in essential protein than chips or sugar-filled energy bars or candy. Be sure to ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Old Trapper, back in the jungle. I love it. 1-800-636-8686. Trevor Moad is going to join me at the top of the hour. I think that's going to be a really interesting conversation for a lot of you. We're in a really challenging time, a really scary time. People aren't sure how to approach it. He's a really good person to talk to. He's a mentor, a guru, a best-selling author, the CEO of Limitless Minds. I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. All right, so the best part of a three-day weekend is not even the three-day weekend. I could argue the best part of a three-day weekend is the four-day work week. Knock on wood, if you're with me.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
So the best part of this particular four-day work week is not that it starts on a Tuesday. It's that we skipped an entire day, which means we are that much closer to all together now, football. Yes, I'm still on that same topic. The normal 72-hour countdown to a Thursday kickoff is now just a 48-hour countdown. Now play is that.
How play is that, man?
That's the good news. Now the bad news is we are still in 2020. And we're still not all the way back to normal, unless you would consider the new normal normal. And then we are all the way back. But what it all means really is we have limited fans in some stadiums and no fans in others. So go ahead and pour one out for the Rams, the Chargers, and the Raiders, who are opening up multi-billion dollar dojos at the most inopportune time. Now, a huge part of the game day experience, as we know, is tailgating. The community, the camaraderie, the food, the chance to pound fairly priced liquor before you have to go on the inside and pay 30 bucks a beer. But because tailgating involves close contact with a lot of strangers, this is not exactly COVID approved, nor responsible. So stadiums are banning it in their parking lots this year. In fact, the city of Buffalo took it a step further. They banned it in adjacent and satellite parking lots as well. So not just at New Era Field, which honestly is something to be proud of, Bills Mafia, when you really think about it. Like when your reputation is so insane that you're getting banned from non-stadium parking lots in advance, you know you're doing it better than everybody else. So it should come as no surprise that somebody would jump in and somebody would look for a loophole. Website called MyBookie. I'm actually familiar with that website. They decided to construct a tailgate bubble for the Mafia, which requires online registration and pre-screening for COVID symptoms. And inside the tailgate bubble, they apparently will have an RV to jump off of, plenty of tables to jump right through, and vats and vats and vats of hand sanitizer. I mean, this is in the best way possible, Mafia. But is there even enough hand sanny in the world to disinfect you psychopaths? I mean, we are talking about a fan base that's on video beer bonging cold ones right through another person's crack. So I've got to at least pose the question. Are you guys going to sanitize the butt luge beer bong before you use that? I hope so. Be responsible. So there's a virtual tailgate for the mafia apparently being set up. Elsewhere, over in Philly, one local businessman, an Eagles honk, is about to clean up because this person happens to have the most ideal real estate you could possibly have in a football tailgate pandemic. My man's got a drive-in movie theater. All right, this dude, whose name is Rocco, is turning his drive-in movie theater into a drive-in tailgate. Check out Rocco. Come Sunday, up to 150 cars can pull in for $40, park in front of the big outdoor screen. I would imagine that's HD. I would imagine that probably looks amazing. An outdoor, old-school drive-in movie theater. And maybe it is. Anyway, you can drive in, $40 per, tailgate at a safe distance from everybody else while you wait for the game to kick off. In the meantime, Rocco, he's not just going to get the $40 per. No. My man is way sharper than that. He is also going to sell food and drinks throughout the day and apparently stands to make in the neighborhood of 15 grand every single Eagles game, which is pretty genius. Now, if you want to leave the comfort of your own couch and watch a game through a dirty windshield while sitting in the driver's seat of a, I don't know, 02 Nissan Sentra and use porta-johns instead of your own bathroom, pay for beer instead of reaching right into your fridge and getting one for free, and watch one game with commercials instead of 14 games on Red Zone, or just watch on CBS. Then, dang, Rocco has got the place for you. Rocco, my man, I'm not dogging it. I really am not. I'm just not going. Like, I don't think you'll have a problem selling out 150 parking spots in a town of 2 million. And of those 2 million, probably 1.999 love the team. Just know Van Smack ain't one of them. Not knocking the hustle, though. I'm not. It's just not for me. In fact, on some level, it's going to be interesting to see what NFL fans across the country end up doing on Sundays throughout the year. And more importantly, even maybe next year. Like, I'm sure the league has to be nervous about season ticket holders accidentally finding out just how damn good the experience is at home. Something about replay, multi-camera angles, fantasy alerts. Not having some super belligerent drunk guy trying to maim you for no reason other than something you said or what you're wearing. I don't know. People who don't go, who find out what the experience is like at home, may in fact not leave home. I mean, I've said this for years. This is nothing new. But then again, that's their problem, not mine. And who the hell has a problem right about now when we know football is less than 48 hours away? Normally, I want nothing to do with this guy, but there's nothing normal about these times, and today I am that guy. God bless the four-day work week with a Thursday game. Guy. Normally, I don't want to be that guy. Normally, I don't want to live that life. Today, I am that guy. The four-day work week, 48-hour away from the game. Guy. In fact, damn it, Rocco. I might even be drive-in tailgate guy. That's how hyped I am. Something about watching my team with 149 other friends in their own cars, socially distanced, watching on a gigantic outdoor screen. It suddenly sounded pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. What are you going to do for the games? Where are you watching? Are you looking for a tailgate? Mafia, are you going to the pandemic tailgate? Do it responsibly. Let's check out my reaction. Poncho Vanilla tweets. My dude, did you just reference a movie theater owned by a guy named Rocco? What kind of movies do they show there? I don't know. I just know they're showing Eagles games on Sunday. Do you know, here's something. I have never seen a drive-in movie. I've seen the theaters. I've driven by. I've never actually pulled up, parked my car, and watched a movie in a drive-in theater. I just never have. Fun fact, y'all. I definitely have never watched a football game at a drive-in theater. Mike NLFK tweets, "War anyone named Rocco. Can't imagine this guy does not know how to have fun." Yeah, Rocco sounds awesome. Like I said, that's a good play. That's not my deal. I'm not doing that. But I can't knock the hustle. $40 just to get on the lot, and then he's going to jam you again for food and drink to watch your team from your car? In a car.
A car.
I love this guy. In fact, I'm starting to like that idea more and more and more and more. Not just Rocco, Rocco from Philly. My man. Get it. 15 grand. That's found money, Rocco. Jaime. Oh, Novak. Not having himself a very good year. Australia aside. Has a touring tennis tourney with thousands of people together and not a single mask anywhere to be found. Apologizes for it, but not really. He and his boys have a shirtless party at a packed nightclub. He and his wife get COVID. He goes anti-vax on everyone. Then pelts a pool line judge in the throat and goes with the "Do you know who I am?" card. He is the bag of the year. Stephen S.A. I got to admit, Steve, your take is almost as good as mine and much shorter. Pretty much nailed that. All right, we come back. Hour number three, top of the hour. Good friend of the program, Trevor Moad, joins us. If you've heard him on the podcast, you definitely want to hear him now. We're going to cover some new material and some new ground. If you have not heard him on our podcast, you definitely want to make sure you listen. Trevor Moad's coming up next. Telephone calls after that and a lot more to get to. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Don't go anywhere.